Over the past few months, on these mornings when we gather at the Lord's table, as we did just a few moments ago, we've been looking at some of the aspects of the glorious salvation that God has provided for us. And I realize that we are into the Advent season now, but I wanted to finish this up as we were having communion this morning, this short series of messages. Back in September, when we began this series of messages, I mentioned a book that I'd been reading. Now I forget what it was entitled, but in that book, the author mentioned the importance of being constantly awed by the magnitude of what God has done and what He is doing in our lives, particularly in our salvation. The Apostle Peter, and we looked at this as we've been going through 1 Peter, back in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he tells us that the prophets who wrote about the grace that was to come did not fully understand what it was that they were predicting or what they were speaking about. And that's because it was a mystery, a truth that was hidden. Hidden until the time when God chose to reveal it to the apostles. But at the time that the prophets spoke, they didn't fully grasp what it was they spoke about. And even the angels, Peter says, long to look into and understand the glory of God's salvation plan. Well, since that time, we have looked at a number of things which occur in our lives at the moment that we come to faith in Jesus Christ. When we, through an act of faith, receive Jesus Christ and His salvation. And I want to just emphasize that there is a precise moment when that takes place. Even though there is a process by which we become aware of our need of a Savior, and we gradually overcome our fears and our questions, and we eventually surrender to the Lord Jesus, yet I believe that according to the Scriptures, there is a moment when by the Spirit of God, we are born again and we become a new creature in Christ. Now, you may not be able to tell me or someone else, you may not be able to say exactly when that moment was in your life, but at some point you were born into the family of God. You were born again by the Spirit of God if you are a believer today. And there are many things that happen in that moment of salvation. We mentioned four of them that we were going to look at. There are other things that you could, other terms that are used than what we have looked at. But we've looked at three of these items, and we're going to cover the fourth one today. And first, though, a little bit of review. First of all, we said that in salvation we are justified. We are given a new position before God. There is a change in God's attitude toward the sinner because of Calvary. We are justified, declared righteous. There are two things there that we mentioned. The penalty for our sin is removed, forever gone. We don't have to pay for our sin because Jesus paid for it. We talked about that. And the blood of Christ paid for our sin. The penalty for our sin is removed, and in its place we are given Christ's righteousness. And a couple of results of that. When we are justified, we have peace with God. We are brought back into favor with God, into a right relationship with God. Romans 5, verse 1 says that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is no condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're justified. The second message, we looked at sanctification. We are sanctified. We have a new purpose in life. We are set apart for God's glory and for holiness. And there's a twofold aspect to sanctification. We are set apart for God's purpose at the moment of salvation. That's positional sanctification. We are set apart. We are holy before Him. But then we begin the lifelong process of growing in holiness, what I have termed practical sanctification, the process of becoming what God declares that we are in Christ. We are set apart. That's what the term sanctified means. And then last time, the beginning of November, we looked at redemption. We are redeemed. We have a new master. When we are saved, we are purchased by Christ. Out of the slave market of sin and Satan, we are set free from slavery to sin. We are set free from slavery to Satan, but then we become slaves to righteousness. And Romans chapter 6 talks about that. We looked at that last time. I'm not going to go into all of that again. But there's one more thing that I want to look at in this series. And we're going to go through that today. And that something else that occurs when we come to faith in Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul calls adoption. We are adopted by God. We become His children. First of all, we need to clarify the term, the definition of adoption as it's used in Scripture. The Greek word that's used for this is used only 5 times in the New Testament, all of them by the Apostle Paul. And the word literally means to place as a son, to place as a son in the family. And I need to say this just up front, because sometimes we get hung up on the male and female terms. When we talk about being placed as a son, it refers to the position we have, regardless of whether you are a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. It's the position that we have in God's family. So the term literally means to place as a son. Now, C.I. Schofield, in his notes in his Bible that came out 100 years ago, says adoption, placing as a son, is not so much a word of relationship, but of position. The believer's relation to God as a child results from the new birth, whereas adoption is the act of God whereby one already a child is, through redemption from the law, placed in the position of an adult son. Now, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But we not only have a relationship with God as His child, but we have a special position as His sons, full grown with all of the rights and privileges of an adult son. So that's kind of a brief look at the definition, but the meaning of adoption. What does this mean for us? I think we're all familiar with the idea of adoption as we know it in our society, in our culture, in our own family. We have a granddaughter who is adopted. She's not a part of the family by birth, but she has been brought into the family by choice, by adoption, and is every bit as much a part of the family as the other children in that family. Neither we nor her parents think of her any differently than any of the other children. She's adopted. And so, you know, we're familiar with that in our own society. But the very idea of adoption is one that includes thoughts of compassion, of kindness and love. It's the desire to take in a child from outside the family, to show them the love and affection of a parent, and to make them genuinely part of the family. Back when Paul was writing, in Roman times, there was a process that was practiced on occasion, not often, but occasionally, where a slave would be adopted and welcomed into a family as part of the family. Now, such an occurrence, as I said, it wasn't all that common, but it did happen. And when it did, it changed the life of a slave in immediate and incredible ways. He was instantly released from bondage. He entered into a new family relationship, and all ties to any previous family and life situation were forever removed. He's adopted and brought into a new family relationship. And I think it's easy to see the spiritual comparison to that kind of adoption. As slaves, former slaves to sin, we are redeemed. We spoke about that last time. We're redeemed. The purchase price is paid through the blood of Christ, and we're set free from that slavery to sin. But now we are adopted into God's family. But there is another kind of adoption from Roman culture that also has some spiritual comparison. It's the concept of a child being placed into full sonship as an adult in the family. Paul speaks about that in the passage that we read just a few moments ago, and I want to go there to Galatians chapter 3, the latter part of chapter 3 and chapter 4. He talks about this in Galatians 4. He says, I mean that the heir, the one who is the heir of the estate, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, though he owns the whole estate. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. You see, in Roman times, a son, a child, he may be the firstborn son. He is the future heir. But during the time he was growing up, he would be placed under the care of guardians, tutors, schoolmasters, managers, people who looked after him. And in most cases, those people that cared for him, those people who were responsible for him, were slaves. The child was actually under the slaves. But there came that moment, that time when it was set by the father, when there would be a great ceremony, and that child is taken from the care of the slaves, from the guardians and schoolmasters and so on, and declared to be a full adult son, adopted as a son into the family. He is now the heir of everything. That's what he's talking about. And of course, the context of this passage in Galatians is he's talking about Judaism and the law and so on. And of course, the Judaizers who were trying to get new believers saying they needed to follow the law. And he says, you've got it all wrong. He said, the law was like the schoolmaster. We were children under that. The law was the guardian that kept us on track. But now you've become sons. When the fullness of time, verse 4 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem. There's that idea of redemption. To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption. My translation uses the term adoption. But the full rights as sons. Adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. See, Jesus came not only to redeem us, not only to set us free from slavery to sin and to Satan, but also to place us as sons with all of the rights and privileges that go along with the family name. That's the significance of adoption. We are adopted and brought in with all of the rights and privileges of sons. What are the benefits then? Just want to mention two things. First of all, as an adopted son, we're no longer under slavery to the law. When a child was brought through that ceremony into the new position in the family, he was no longer accountable to that schoolmaster, to that guardian, to that tutor. And so we are no longer under slavery to the law. We become bondservants of righteousness, slaves of righteousness, to live by faith, to obey out of love rather than constraint, but to be free of bondage to sin and to Satan. That's the first benefit. But the second one is that as an adopted son, we now possess the right and the guarantee of an inheritance. And we have talked about that already in previous messages. But we have an inheritance that is ours to enjoy forever. And the guarantee of that inheritance, the deposit or the down payment which we have been given is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14 speak about that. The guarantee of our inheritance is the Spirit that has been placed in us. And with the Holy Spirit comes the assurance that we are His. Not only His children, but His sons. And because we are sons, we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I want to go to Romans 8 and just read a few verses there because they speak to this issue. Romans 8, beginning at verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." You notice some familiar terms here with slavery and so on. "But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, sons, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him." What an amazing thing it is to be adopted with all of the rights and privileges that go along with being the sons of God. Yes, the death of Jesus Christ on a cross 2,000 years ago, and the shedding of His blood on that cross has done much for us. We speak often of having our sins forgiven. We speak often of having a home in heaven. But I trust that we've been reminded as we've looked at some of these things that there is more to our salvation than that. We've been justified. We've been given a new standing before God. We've been sanctified. We've been given a new purpose. We're set apart for holiness. We've been redeemed, placed under a new master, bought out of the slave market of sin to serve Christ. And we've been adopted. We've been given a new relationship, a new standing, a new position in Christ. And all of that happens at that moment when, by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, we come into a personal relationship with Him. And that begs the question again. I ask this question many, many Sundays. Have you made that decision? Have you received the gift that Jesus offers through His sacrifice? Have you received that life, that new standing, that new position in Christ? If you haven't, why not do that today? Put your faith in Him. Realize that it's not something you can do yourself. We can never be good enough to satisfy God's requirements. But Jesus paid for our failures, our sins, our shortcomings, our weaknesses. He paid for all of that so that we can have His righteousness. by putting our faith and trust in Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for what You have done for us in Jesus Christ. Lord, may we never take lightly the salvation that is ours through Jesus, through faith in Jesus. Lord, may we grow in our understanding day by day, month by month. May we grow in grace. Lord, just make these truths real to us. May we realize where we stand with You when we have trusted in Jesus Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.